You are now entering Zone 4. Please be seated and prepare to experience the nerd aristocracy. Any offences encountered by today's broadcast will not be the responsibility of the Mars Civex Consolidated Drilling Corporation or its subsidiaries.
Welcome to the Nerd Aristocracy, the podcast for all things nerd. Available worldwide at nerdaristocracy.com.
And now,
the leaders of the nerd proletariat, your esteemed hosts, Jonathan Bell and Ryan Reinecke.
Of whom he's... That is us. We are of whom he speaks, I believe, is the bard way of saying that.
That we be.
Wow. Wouldn't it be annoying if we did that the whole episode, just spoke in the bard?
We should. Is there like a Shakespeare month or something like that?
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's the national...
Greetings, Val! Well, you were doing some Thine stuff before the show.
Yes, I was.
I had to pause and be like, okay, what? How does that break down? Okay, that's yours. Thine.
I'd love to see our website spikes after that. Like the plummet.
Yeah,
right,
I wonder
after that episode
if
airs.
You can owe page hits to people. Like, we have to go to their house. And I just had to stop by because, you know, you really shouldn't come to us anymore, obviously.
Oh, man, that apology would take a long time.
Well, especially if they did it in iambic pentameter.
Yes. Yes, it would be a sad day for all members of the proletariat. Anyway, so tell me about your week. How you been?
My week? I've been okay. Had some scary issue with the MacBook Pro here.
Really?
Solid machines, but I think I might have fudged my own pudding.
Okay.
Okay, I have a powered USB hub.
Right.
You know what a USB hub is, of course.
I do.
And
you got to clarify. You got to clarify with me.
Okay, it's not like a hubcap
on the tech stuff, but I am familiar with the USB hub.
Yes. And normally I have like maybe three or four things plugged into it at any time. And it has an outlet to where you can charge it to kind of give juice to those different devices so it doesn't demand too much from your system. I noticed that a keyboard that I had plugged into it's an illuminated keyboard where the keys light up backlit. Very nice. Has a very nice, like, snick-snack kind of typing on it. Like, when you type on it, it's really crisp. It's like you're breaking little fried fairy wings every time you tap. Excellent feeling. Logitech, very reasonable. I got it for refurbished. Still cost me money, though. It wasn't free. It wasn't responding. And so I was like, okay. And I looked in the back of the computer where the hub is, and I noticed it wasn't plugged into its power supply.
Okay.
And then I saw a power brick that was plugged into my power strip, and it wasn't plugged into anything else. So I deduced that, oh, that must be it. It must have gotten knocked loose. Plugged it in. My computer instantly went, and then just
That's
shut down.
Always a bad sound.
Yes, it is. Especially on a Mac, because if it happens on a PC, you're like, oh, it's Tuesday. And this scared me, so I unplugged the USB hub from my computer, restarted the computer, looked like it started fine, and then I'm a genius, I plugged it in again and repeated what just happened.
Right.
Then I went through a bunch of alterations, like unplugged the power from the USB hub, then plugged just the keyboard in to my MacBook Pro. Wasn't getting any responses, unplugged it, plugged in my Wacom tablet. My Wacom tablet is my drafting tablet with a remote pen, and you draw on it, and it acts like a fine-tuned mouse when you're doing Photoshop and stuff like that.
So that's how you – do you utilize that a lot in your Nerd Aristocracy graphics work?
I use it religiously for all my graphics work.
That's awesome.
Whack on and whack off. I use
sure.
it all the time.
Yes.
And it wasn't responding. So I was like, okay, this is not good. Then one more time, I decided, okay, let me shut down the computer. Let me let it rest for about 3 hours. I did that, came back to it, plugged in the keyboard again. Had it plugged in for about 30 seconds. And then my wrist started getting itchy and then started getting hot. And then I looked down on the keyboard where the wrist rest area is, and it was depressed because it was fucking melting. The keyboard was melting from the USB port.
And it's not supposed to do that?
No, not this model.
Okay.
It's the non-melting model. Okay. Right. I opted for that.
You paid extra for the kind that doesn't melt.
Yeah. I checked the UPCs and everything.
Okay.
And my MacBook Pro was throwing out so much power from its port for some reason. Then I checked my Wacom tablet. I plugged it into the wife's Mac. And it's done. It's fucked. Okay, end of the day, backlit Logitech keyboard refurbished, about $38. My Wacom tablet Intuos 3 that I've had for probably about 4 or 5 years, I bought for about $400. That is shit. They are both two plastic pieces of shit now.
That may or may not melt. At any given moment.
Oh, exactly. We are now operating off of same said USB with this $120 Yeti Blue microphone that I've already had to have replaced by the fine people at Blue Mics before at no cost to me.
Correct.
Minus shipping. what I had to do for all you Mac nerds out there, if you have any peripherals, any ports on your computer or your DVD drive that's not behaving, Google this. SMC reset, and that's a management utility that the Mac runs on a low level of its processes. And basically, you tell the computer, kind of like Windows has BIOS. You familiar with that? You tell the system how to operate its own hardware, so you have it relapse back to the default state. And that kind of like holding massive reset button. And ever since then, it seemed to be working fine, which has been all of 4 days now.
Right.
However, my MacBook Pro is still in the warranty period, so I'm wondering if I bring it back to them and bitch and cry and bring my Wacom and my keyboard, if they'll either A, compensate me for those losses, or B, what I would rather is swapping
whenever
out my
MacBook Whenever I return Pro. Something like a keyboard that I've been Wacoming on or around, they never take it back.
No,
they never take it back.
I don't expect Wacom to take it back because it's an Apple product that did it to it.
Right.
Nor Logitech. But I don't know in the EULA that we had Richard Dreyfuss read once upon a time.
Yes.
I think there's something that says if any Apple product slaughters your family while they slumber, you cannot hold us accountable in any way, shape, or form.
I'm sure that that they have that clause in there.
Yeah, and I got like no small amount of graphic work coming in to do for a theater company, like my one major account that I have every year. That's cranking up for about 4 shows, and I always use my Wacom exclusively for that.
Right.
So I'm hoping at the very most a great concession would be if they took my MacBook Pro and they gave me a brand new one.
Right.
That had an upgraded processor and hard drive.
Yes.
But I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm going to go to the Apple store in Metairie, Louisiana, and see if they'll fall for that.
All right.
So that has been one of the most significant things this past week.
Right.
Minus the wonderful night out we had after a roller derby game.
That is very true. Had a magnificent time. At least I did. But you seem to be having a pretty good time yourself.
Thank you. I had a splendid time.
Splendid.
It was. Time. It was splendid.
Rather splendid.
For those of you who do not know, Jonathan and I also announced at the Mississippi Roller Girls home games. I've gone and done one in Mobile before, too, remotely. But we get on the microphones, talk about roller derby, announce the game, say what's happening, try to break it down for the crowd, and try to have as much fun as we can for a sport that we understand very little.
That's very true. And I understand even less of it than you do because your lovely wife has been participating for years. So you still don't know every minor rule, but myself, it's tough picking sometimes.
That's true, but you're a quick study. Yeah, thank I mean you. You come along quickly. You know you keep the patter going. If anything, just by virtue of my wife being in, I've had to associate and have some of it sink in. So that was great. Then we went to the after party at one of the sponsors of the roller derby, a local bar. It's a nice bar. It overlooks the water, has a balcony area, so there's a breeze coming in. So even at night down here, it's just hellaciously hot. But it was a great evening. When I got to the bar, I managed to see the head chef of the bar/pub, I guess.
Right.
They serve food there. And he was convinced that he had met me before. So, like, upon arriving, I met the head chef, and I go inside, have some people offer to buy me drinks immediately after I come back from the bar with a drink I've just paid for in my hand. Yeah. This happened three times.
Yes, it did.
From two different people.
I was there.
And I thought it was just a conspiracy. I'm like, yeah, let's wait till Ryan goes in. Hey, man, can I get you a top shelf? Oh, you're good with that cheap High Life. All right, whatever. No, that's cool. Never mind. Next time, dude.
No, I really had a great time, and it's been a while since I had been out anywhere east of New Orleans, and really enjoyed myself.
Yeah, one of the best times down here, especially.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. I have, you know, fun nights like that sometimes in New Orleans, but Saturday was nice and special and met new people and had fun and kicked it. The weather wasn't too bad at all.
Yeah, it's nice.
So it was a good weekend.
Good company, good senses of humor. I have to go on about myself. I met the owner of the bar. And I gave him some pointers on his bar, like how he can improve it.
Right.
Including adding some facing on the beach.
Right.
That would help attract people driving by Highway 90 that it's mm-hmm. situated on.
Right.
Like I was thinking a capsule-shaped sign that sticks out from the building, you know. Because he just has one of those shitty Budweiser signs that Budweiser gives you for yes. free. That's like a big banner. It says your bar, and it's in this like unexciting font, and then it's got Budweiser's cock stamps on it. But I was thinking some illuminated sign, but he was telling me about all these regulations that the city imposes on beachfront property businesses and shit like that. It sounds really onerous. But then I talked to him about food. He was telling me about his favorite food there, and he started buying me food and bringing me out food and having me taste it and stuff like that. So I ate like a fucking king in Siam. If I missed the free drinks,
yeah, I don't think that. I was hanging out with you at this point.
No, you weren't. I was at the table where the naked women were feathering me with peacock fans.
Yes.
And the owner was feeding me like a mother hen, where he would pre-chew the food and then like vomit it in my mouth and then okay. say, "Hey, what do you think of that?"
Yeah, I definitely did not bear witness to that.
No, it was pretty awesome.
Well, I'm sad I missed the free food. Homosexual activity between mm-hmm. you and the owner.
Hey, there were women there.
In bird-like fashions.
Mm-hmm. You're drag queens.
Not regretting too much missing that. But the free food. The
macaroni and cheese was fantastic.
Free food I'm always on the lookout for.
Yeah. So Big Mike Speakeasy on Biloxi. I'll give him a plug. What the hell? Give me some free grub. I did get one shot of Jägermeister. Not my favorite beverage by any means.
That's true. That guy bought us shots of Jäger.
That guy was something else. I enjoyed his company. Yeah.
Yes. He gave me like two cheese sticks too.
Sweet. So. Good man. Good times. Anyhow, yeah, that was me.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. I think most of the cool part of my weekend we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. about a week and a half ago, I caught some of Mark Maron's new stand-up. Well, relatively new. It was just released on DVD with the John Oliver's New York stand-up show. It's a very long title. It was on Comedy Central back here a couple months ago. It's out now on DVD. Mark Maron is on the first episode of the first season. And really good stuff. Like, I don't know if I was all that unfamiliar with his stand-up prior to recently.
Mm-hmm.
He was not one of those comics I ever bumped into when I lived in L.A.
Right.
Just, I guess, weren't on the same.
Well, I know he went between New York and
Cosmos,
LA for a while.
Right.
Right.
So, but I was impressed, man. It was some good, good solid material.
Can I see this online somewhere? Is it?
Yeah, I think it's on Netflix.
Really? Yeah. I'd love to see it because I remember Mark Maron, like on Caroline's Comedy Hour back in the day, you know, on fucking VH1 before it was VH1. Shitty brick wall spotlight, sweating his balls off, racked on cocaine.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was watching him because surely I didn't get like his humor at the time. But there was something about the frantic, self-absorbed state that Maron is in. And I listen to his podcast. It's one of my, like right there with Corolla.
Sure.
And like in some ways, I like Mark more because I can associate with all his neuroses.
Sure.
And, the way he breaks things down and commands.
Yeah, a lot
language.
Of times to me, Adam Carolla is just a little too manly man. You know what I mean? Like, he really gets off on talking about fucking hot rods and, you know, building houses and fucking tools. And, you know, I'm down with some of that. I have those days when I'm just like, you know, man, but he's like that 24/7. So Mark is much more, I think, nerd-esque in his the way he approaches his show and the stuff he talks about.
Yeah, he's definitely more sensitive of the two. Right. It's like if you put the two together, like I like when anybody talks sports or like cars and stuff, I just tune out and nod if I'm seen by them to make them to be polite. like when you do occasionally. But like I appreciate the passion that's there.
Sure.
Carolla, I really can take some good life lessons from because he has no problem saying like the shitty family he grew up in that everybody just didn't give a shit and like pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. And I like that kind of ethic, you know.
Sure.
That kind of like stop bitching and get on with something. No. But at the same time, I can't stop bitching. So that's when the Marin part of me comes in and I'm like, well, I'm squishy and insecure and all these other things. So it's like this interesting duality that I have back and forth.
Right. It's funny you mentioned the Caroline's Comedy Hour because that was like the New York stand-up show, and Evening at the Improv was like the LA stand-up show. And people ask me all the time, like one of the questions I get asked the most when I'm talking to somebody and stand-up comes up and we get on that whole line of dialogue is like, have you always wanted to be a comic? You know, when did it occur to you, hey, this would be a viable freaking career path, you know? Or when did you know this is really what you wanted to do? And I can remember watching Evening at the Improv at like literally 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
And seeing these people just up on the stage, like you said, with the shitty brick wall in the background. And like watching it and saying, wow.
Yeah.
I want to do that one day.
Yeah. They are living or dying right there.
Yeah. And I was... I'm not going to give myself, you know, genius guru credit or whatever, but at 4 years old, I was cognizant of that, of like the, you know, the levels to the performance.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't just like a kid blindly like, oh, ha, ha, ha. You know,
it could have been that.
Ha, ha, ha.
The Smothers Brothers.
Right. You know, I was literally like, dude, that's hard. Like this dude has a bunch of jokes and they're funny and they're all together. And you know, that's how my mind processed it at that age was like, this guy, everything he says is funny. Most people can't do that. This guy must be special.
Yeah.
You know, that was how it fired in my brain. And so I knew very early on, you know, from watching those 80s shows.
Oh, yeah. That there's something here.
Yeah.
I feel that about just kind of being an entertainer in general, but specifically about humor, about making people laugh. It's like the most agreeable way you can violate somebody.
Right.
Because you force them to do something.
Yeah.
You know, and anything else you do to elicit a response from somebody that they don't want to give you, they walk away feeling dirty and hurt and want to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
But that's like something where they'll thank you, you know, and it's really unique.
Yeah,
you know?
It's really hard to hide laughter. It is really hard to stifle laughter. Like there's so many times like I'll get heckled. In the past, I don't get heckled so much anymore, but like if a heckler heckles me and I go at him and I put him down and he learns his lesson, for the rest of the show, he won't want to laugh. You know what I mean? Right. Because it's that thing of, wow, this dude just...
You kicked his dick in the dirt.
Yeah. This dude just fucking showed me up in front of God and everybody. I don't want to give him the pleasure of laughing at his jokes, but it's really hard. And if you're not looking at him, like if I see him out of the corner of my eye and I land a big punch, then I can kind of see him out of the corner of my eye, got the arms folded, doesn't want to laugh, but mm-hmm. it was so fucking funny and everybody else is laughing, like it forces him to laugh.
Right. He's like that kid that's determined to have a bad time.
Sure. Yeah. Mama just spanked me, so I'm going to, even though I'm in the middle of fucking Chuck E. Cheese and have 500 tokens, I'm going to pretend like I hate the world right now. Right.
I'm going to hate this this ball jumpy room.
Mm-hmm. Fuck this just jump ball room.
A little bit. Oh, wait, that's the bathroom and the janitor.
That's it. Well, what do you want to – you want to take five and
yeah, sure.
come back
five.
At it?
Yeah.
All right, folks. See you on the other side. Enjoy.
I mean, come on. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it.
Okay.
Think about God. I think most people believe in God just in case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's some sort of blacklist, you know, you don't want to be on it. You don't want to be one of those people that says, hey, there's no God, and then die and have to go, oh, hi, you know. Is there some sort of community service I can do? You know. Well, you know, I read recently in USA Today that a lot less people believe in God, and it had a little color graph, so, you know, must be true. More blue equals less people, you know what I mean? Why? Mm-hmm. But what is that? What is statistics? What's that all about, you know? Why do we believe that graph statistics? Like 5 out of 15 people believe less in God. Who'd they ask? Did they ask you? No. Did they ask me? No. Who are they calling? I don't know. We see what it is. You know what a pollster is. Those are those calls you get where they go, hi, you mind if we ask you a few questions about it? And you're like, no, I have no time for this. You hang up the phone.
Yeah.
Well, see what it is that you get these guys who are sitting at home, just sitting there watching Jenny Jones, and the phone rings, and they're just sitting there going, oh, I wish I had friends. Bring. Hey, you mind if we ask you a few questions? Yes, I want to talk to people. You see that? I'm just saying don't believe the numbers. But let's say it's true.
Uh-huh.
Let's say people believe less in God. I think one of the reasons is God doesn't seem to talk to people like he used to. I mean, you read the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, every other day. It was like, Abraham, this is God. I need you to do something for me pronto. Can you handle it? Thanks, I knew you could. Who's he talking to now? I don't know. And then I realized maybe it's those guys you see walking down the street talking to themselves. You know, those guys who are just like, I can't. No, I can't. No, I can't.
Yeah.
Maybe the other side of that conversation is God going, you're the new leader. No, I can't. They're not crazy. They're reluctant prophets.
Welcome back, everybody, from that nice little break.
There you go. We are back. Mm-hmm. You do your soulful DJ voice every time we come back from break.
Yeah.
It's like
I like to give people a little ramp back into the crazy.
It's like you're waking them up out of a yoga, like, meditation.
Yeah, I know, because for that 30 seconds.
Thank you for. We're back on Light Rock 102.7.
I turned into Hearts of Space from NPR. You've been listening to the bumper music from whatever Ryan has chosen after listening and editing this episode.
Yeah.
And choosing the most salient piece from the beginning half that he might try to work in.
It's like the dip plays, and then we come back with a. All right, and we're back.
It's my pillow talk.
That was Womp There It Is with our halftime break music. And we're back on the San Diego Bay's number one soft rock station, Z107.5.
We need to start doing themed episodes. We got our Shakespeare episode. We got our soft, sedated,
yes,
new age hippie episode.
Yes, we'll do that for like a Christmas episode when we know nobody's probably listening to us over, you know, Christmas.
Oh, that's when they all gather, man.
Right.
All proletariat, sure. Some nerd bird. And
That would be awesome if like one of the proletariat like had a, you know, nice fire going in the Christmas. In the hearth.
Smoking jacket.
Yes, with their smoking jackets and their presents wrapped gingerly under the tree. Fog from Papa's pipe is filling the room.
Taking a little wooden hammer and tacking up the stockings that mom sewed.
And then on the old, big-time, old-timey stand-up radio. You know,
that
transistor
the iPod
radio
is plugged into.
Right. Yeah. The fake one with the
oh, yeah, yeah.
AV jacks in the back.
Out. Yeah, baby. We need a Norman Rockwell, that son of a bitch.
Right. And then the proletariat's like, no, you got to listen to these guys. And then they just so happen to turn on an episode where you're talking about
molesting children or something.
Your Laotian tile boy or something, you know. Like, okay.
Don't talk about come now.
Right.
All right.
All right. Epic nerd news this week.
Epic?
Epic nerd news this week.
Let me sit down.
The most famous pirate, some would say, in the history of pirates, Blackbeard, his flagship, and I don't even have to say, notice I caught myself, I didn't say flagship ship, because that
is explanatory.
It's derivative of
flagship.
Yes.
Right.
It is the actual flagship.
Uh-huh.
Like, not the flagship podcast of all nerds, right, worldwide.
Flagship Chrysler model.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is the flagship Queen Anne's Revenge.
Honor? Which,
yes. It hit a sandbar off the North Carolina coast in like 1718.
Jimmy Buffett's?
No, and it hit the sand barge, and I believe they were on the run, and so they all abandoned ship, literally, and got away, but their frickin' flagship was taken out to sea.
Davy Jones' locker.
Yes, and sank. Now, they discovered this particular shipwreck a while ago, but it's taken them this long to confirm that it was indeed Blackbeard's and not one of the hundreds of other pirates.
What was the, you know, the proof of the pirate booty that they were like, yes, this is definitively Blackbeard's?
I think it was inscriptions on the cannons, because at that back then,
ye Blackbeard's.
Well, no, what probably happened was they had documentation saying, okay, Blackbeard sacked the British Navy vessel in 1715. And then if they find a serial number on a cannon from this particular shipwreck that came from British...
HMS Conquest on the cannons.
Exactly.
Or something.
They'll say, okay, this was Blackbeard's ship, and
so,
it is at the bottom of the ocean.
So what did they find? What was
they
all
found
there?
All sorts of stuff. I mean, they're still excavating. But now, like I say, they found the cannons, found parts of what's thought to be barracks, and lots of other the standard knickknacks and trinkets you would expect to find, the ship's bell and stuff like that. So I can't wait for them to put it on display, because I think I might go on a nerd road trip and check it out.
Wicked.
Have some friends out that way. We have Proletariat out that way. Mm-hmm. I know Methune stays not too far away. So it's interesting. But as far as history nerds go, this is the mother load, because it's Blackbeard's frickin' ship. I mean, he could only be second to Jean Lafitte. I mean, that's the only person he could be secondary to. And I think around the world, more people know Blackbeard than they do Jean Lafitte.
Yes.
I think Jean Lafitte is very big.
Famous privateer.
Yes. I think he's very big in the Gulf South, especially New Orleans regions, because of the folklore and tall tales and whatnot. But I think globally, Blackbeard is probably the most famous pirate that ever lived.
Yeah, because, I don't know, just the name through history, Blackbeard,
sure,
is a lot more intimidating than Lafitte, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, matter of fact, one of my favorite, did you ever hear, or did your mom ever read you the story of Bluebeard?
No, she didn't.
No. Have we talked about that before?
I do know it. I don't know if we've talked about it. I think you may have
used
it in some
analogy.
You
know it, but your mom never read it to you.
Correct. Or, I know things that my mom didn't do to me.
Right. Mm-hmm. But normally, if you know a fairy tale, you will know it from childhood. It's not like you're saying, yeah, sophomore year, college, I burned through
Some
fairy
Kerouac. Tales.
And,
most fairy
and then
tales
I picked up Grimm's.
I discovered were probably not through readings from my family. I don't really recall them reading much to me. And honestly, probably a lot of my folklore comes from, you know, after leaving the hearth after high school and stuff, kind of searching on my own. Blackbeard, I heard, you know, some anecdote through somebody else. I'm sorry, Bluebeard. But don't look in that room, bitch. Anything else?
Right.
Okay, honey.
Dude, I remember being a kid and I could watch Friday the 13th and not be scared. I mean, all those movies of that early 80s, you know, they were around when I was 4 or 5 years old,
right.
Would watch them, be totally cool. But that story, that one in Hansel and Gretel, scared the shit out of me, man. Literally, like Bluebeard, that was a fucking terrifying story.
Now let's break that
to down. Like a four-year-old.
Now, why is that? Because the thought that you can live with somebody that's a homicidal maniac, that's killing other versions of yourself, that doesn't tell you about it,
well, and then proposes to take care of you. You knew the kind of environment that I grew up in.
Yeah, you live with a homicidal maniac that killed other versions of yourself.
No. I
those quote brothers that you never knew.
I lived under the stresses that one would imagine living under when your dad is prosecuting members of an organized crime racket.
Yeah, like in all its Scorsese horrid glory.
So living under those conditions, I think a story about what's on the other side of the fucking door is terrifying.
That you are forbade to
and
go into.
I was cool with Freddy Krueger. Because I knew the concept of Freddy Krueger, and I knew I was in no immediate threat of being pillaged by Freddy Krueger.
Right.
But that concept of what's on the other side of the door, that was real to me as a kid.
It's nice. I appreciate the the simple things like that and how much effect the mind can take and run with that, dude.
I think it was Hitchcock that said the scariest thing is the unknown, something to that effect. That element of the audience, your mind can build a much scarier picture than I could ever put on a screen.
Absolutely.
So if I leave that element out and force your mind to imagine what that picture looks like, then it will be infinitely scarier.
Yeah, like the infamous shower scene from Psycho, where she doesn't get stabbed. I mean, you see the knife go up and down. You don't see the bitch get stabbed in the shower. Yes. But everybody walking out of that theater when it first happened could have sworn they saw that because their mind filled those blanks. Yeah, no, you're totally right. I mean, the mind is its own best storyteller. Just ask anyone with a psychosis.
Right. So anyway, read about it. There's tons of stuff on the internet out there. But yes, Blackbeard's ship, the Queen Anne's Revenge, has been confirmed to have been located and is currently being salvaged. So that's good news. And in our This Week in Nerd History segment.
Yeah?
Yes. 1974, this week, a show premiered on television. Name that show.
1974. Late summer, early fall. Show. Come on. Can you give me some more pointers than just show? I mean, that's kind of general.
Okay. It's the story of a lovely lady.
The story of a lovely lady.
Yes.
Mary Tyler Moore.
No.
No, that's probably before that. Sonny and Cher. I have no fucking idea.
The Brady Bunch.
Oh, the Storm Ring.
Bam!
Fucker. Well, I mean, there's other people involved. Sure. I was thinking like, it's like one main character.
I know. If I said it's the story of a lovely lady who is bringing up three very lovely girls, it would be a little too easy.
Brady Bunch.
Yes.
Did not know that.
Yes. Brady Bunch premiered this week in 1974.
That's excellent. Let's hope they make no more ever again.
Yes.
In any way, shape, or form.
That's true. That should rest in the bowels of Nick at Night Studios.
Absolutely.
And be played only at 3 a.m. on Thursday nights.
Well, you can play it as much during as you want. Sweeps. It should be like a rerun channel of that kind of stuff. Well, that's kind of like a twofer. You got Blackbeard, you got the Brady Bunch. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, some good fucking nerd history there.
Nerd history this week. Diane will be happy.
Yes, she will.
Hopefully. You know what makes me happy? Lots of things.
No.
But I found out this week that my favorite pizza in the entire world, which is made at a place called Giordano's mm-hmm. in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I found out this week that they deliver. They will cook whatever pizza you want halfway, and then they will pack it, seal it, ship it overnight, get it to you, and you pop it in your oven, finish cooking it the rest of the way, and bam, you got a Giordano's pie.
Fuck. And
okay. It's only like $19, what? Including shipping.
No.
Yes.
Stop.
I swear. No.
Liar.
No, it's
really?
True. Yes.
They got a vacuum sealer or something, because, I mean, fuck, if some kid can't get from goddamn Domino's to my house without the fucking top of the packaging being pasted with the pepperoni.
I'm sure they vacuum seal it.
Well, we should go half season, get one of those sometime. Do a little nerd review on some pizza.
Yes.
Out of Chicago?
Out of Chicago. Hmm. Evanston, Illinois, baby.
I've never had some pie from up there, so it'd be interesting.
It is delicious. It is by far... It was the first meal I had when I got to Chicago. Right after Katrina, I arrived at Kane's house, mm-hmm. apartment in Evanston, Illinois. I was tired, been on the road for a long ass time, and I just kind of landed on a sofa, and he was like, "Hey man, we're gonna get a pizza." And I was like, "Hey, that's cool. I'm hungry. I'll eat half a pizza, and that's how much I need. However many pizzas we got to order, I need half a pizza." And he's like, "No, man, you'll be cool with a couple of slices." And I was like, "No, I need half a pizza. I know how much pizza I consume. Mm-hmm. I need half a pizza." And he's like, "Cool. Michelle and I only have a piece or two each. 8 slices, we'll get 1 pizza." And I was like, "All right, dude." And I'm thinking, I'm going to eat 3/4 of these people's pizzas.
Suckers.
And then they're going to tell me to get the hell out of their house. Dude, I tell you, this pizza is so substantial. Literally, I had like a piece and maybe a half another piece. And I was gorged.
What is it, just like super thick crust, or what's
it's
going on there?
It's super thick everything.
Really?
I mean, it's a thick crust, like a buttery crust, mm-hmm. very mm-hmm. thick. A level of thick mozzarella, like they use mozzarella slices on the bottom.
Fuck them.
And then it melts. And then they have your toppings on top of that. Uh-huh. And they normally use 1 pound of sausage per large pizza. So... they literally take a roll of sausage like you would buy in the store, 1 pound of sausage, yeah. and that's how much fresh sausage they put on the pizza. Then they cover that with shredded cheese, shredded mozzarella cheese, and put like an inch thick of shredded mozzarella on it. And then they top that off with their robust Italian sauce.
Stop it!
And that's a Giordano's pizza.
$19.95 delivered.
It is like...
fuck your mother. No, it can't be that
I'm telling
cheap.
You, dude.
How much is it if you live next door? Like $4?
Oh, no, it's like...
that's ridiculous.
It's like 14, I think.
Wow. That's stupendous.
I agree.
I thought you were going to say they got like some private jet airliner to bring it to millionaires across the United States, and it'd be like... you know, $3,000 a pizza, like they did in Iron Man or something like that.
This is the real deal, man. It really is. Chicago, Giordano's, ship a pizza.
That looks like a fucking, literally a pie, dude.
That's why they call it a pie. Look, sausage pizza, $19.20.
Yeah, well, I mean, put in your mailing address and let's see how much it is. You know, I'm on a budget these days. I could get a couple of those for the month.
I might be wrong. You might have to cut this entire clip.
No, we need some Jonathan's wrong.
Jonathan's always wrong. Yeah, okay. Not even close.
Oh, no? But do they do it?
They do it, but it's just not cheap.
How much is it?
It's $45 to ship it overnight. So it would be $20 plus $45.
All right.
So it would be $65.
We're going to meet one day and sell some blood plasma.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day we'll have this delivered.
Okay.
And we'll still go halfsies on that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, still, $46 overnight pizza delivered to your door fresh from, you know, another part of the greater upper continent that
you're
living
on. You know what's going to happen one day? I'm going to, you know, make a big sale or get a tax refund back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm literally going to have a Giordano's pizza shipped from Chicago. I'm going to have a cheesecake shipped from New York City. And I'm going to have some
prostitutes
Italian beef
shipped from
I'm going to have some I'm going to have some Italian beef shipped from Philadelphia.
Wow. And you're just going to...
And I'm going to put a pizza... I'm going to put the pizza in the oven while that's cooking. I'm going to chop up some of that beef. I'm going to have a fresh hoagie.
Dude, you also have to have a...
I'm going to have hoagie bread shipped from fucking San Francisco.
Okay, you need to get an olive wreath crown shipped to you from Italy so you can wear it like fucking Nero as you're walking around greasing yourself with this food. And like,
I was like, I spent $200 on this meal, but it's fucking delicious.
Wearing like a Rocky silk robe.
Yes.
Here, I see it. Do it.
Dude, I totally will. I totally will.
Do it.
It will be worth the $200 I spend for the fucking story. I swear to God. Just to say, I'll be telling that story when I'm 95 years old, dying in a fucking, you know, senior citizen's home. I will say, you know what? One time when I was 30 years old.
One thing I don't regret.
I took off all my clothes and I got in my satin robe and I placed the crown upon my head.
Are you going to turn into an old lady when you're 90?
No, they'll probably have cut my esophagus out.
Just imagining, like,
from post cancer op, throat cancer op, lung cancer op.
Oh, you're really building into this.
Yes. Anyway, and I put my pizza in the oven. Now I'm Julia Child. And I put my pizza in the oven. And now I'm an old Italian man. Old Jewish Italian man.
That's what the food does to you.
And I place the crown upon my head, and I put my pizza in the oven, and I prepared my beef, and I served it upon my hoagie.
Yes, Mr. Bell, that's nice.
And I ate it, and I finished it off with half a New York-style cheesecake.
Yes, Mr. Bell, you ate a lot. That's very good now. Now it's time to go have some pudding in the main hall.
And then I passed out.
Of course you did. That was
in a sugar coma.
Yes, you did.
You know nothing of sugar comas.
Actually, I've been
training. Your generation is a bunch of fucking pansies when it comes to diabetes.
Well, we all eat NutraSweet that's made out of cardboard these days.
When I was a boy, it was sugar.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was.
And corn syrup.
Yes, and that's why we're feeding you through a tube today.
You motherfuckers. Get out of my room. Who are you?
Actually, we have your corn syrup pills. I'm assigned to you.
Where's
by your
my
doctors
Percocet?
In the state. We administer
I
that
need
annually.
My Percocet.
That comes at bedtime.
I need Percocet and a slice of Giordano's
okay,
pizza.
Okay, Mr. Bell. Okay,
they
Giordano's
still make
been,
it.
Okay, it's been shut down for
Get
years.
Get out of my room.
You're in the middle of the
Obi-Wan.
You're outside.
Yoda.
Oh, Jesus.
Egon.
All right, we're going to need some tasers.
Ray. Peter.
This playlet brought to you by Gorging.
Winston. Oh, man. That was pretty awesome for an improv comedy bit.
Very nice.
Yes, thank
Good
you.
Good stuff.
We hope the proletariat enjoyed that.
I don't care if they
That
did.
Was not planned. I'm sure it sounded unplanned.
No, wait. I thought I had your lines for a second.
No.
That's actually interesting because it ramps me into a Ghostbusters thing. I read something about Ghostbusters 3. In the works?
I've been reading rumors for a while now.
Aykroyd has been blabbing, dude.
Yeah.
And supposedly it rests on Mr. Bill Murray.
Right.
And Winston, last he knows, has not been contacted or approached.
No way, yeah, dude.
Do it to the
black
guy.
How are you going to fucking shaft Ernie Hudson? Winston fucking Zedmore, dude.
I don't know. This has just got bad written all over
it. It's not the Ghostbusters without Winston Zedmore.
It's not the Ghostbusters anyway. It should not happen.
What about Rick Moranis? They're going to fucking screw him too?
Probably. Sigourney Weaver's
probably
going to be
the Keymaster, man.
Ass.
He's the fucking Keymaster.
Well, yeah, they like work for him. Or he works for them. No, this is something, even if they had everybody on board and they were like tapping all the right people and doing the right things that Hollywood historically does not do, it should not be made.
I know it's been a while since Dan Aykroyd's had a hit, but he needs to go back to looking for aliens.
I'm not worried about fucking Dan Aykroyd. I'm worried about, who's his name? Egon. Harold Ramis, dude. When's the last time he's been in front of a camera?
I don't know.
Now, he's a great writer, great producer, director, yeah, but Jesus Lord, no, don't make it. It'll be goddamn like that Indiana Jones fucking abortion that I had to watch. But that's just a segue, because sure. I read that recently, and I was just thinking, no, and then how could they to Winston
right.
at the same time?
Well, I don't know if you'd heard about this, but they are theatrically re-releasing Jurassic Park in Europe.
Mm.
They have done the digital revamp.
Yeah,
I guess.
Did they go in there and like correct all the pixels from before?
I think so. Yes, they blew the dust off the pixels, made some new prints.
Oh yeah,
and now they're going to ship them out.
Why the fuck? Why are they doing this?
I don't know. I guess they...
Steven Spielberg needs a new island.
You're right.
Apparently.
They said, hey, people will sell at least 100 tickets to this bullshit, and it won't cost us anything.
Wow.
We'll put three nerds, you know, digital PAs, you know, PAs in the digital department, and have them, like you say, blow the dust off the...
Yeah.
The CD-ROM.
Like, all right.
Put it back in the computer.
Let's put it in the upscale machine.
Load it back up.
Come back in about 2 weeks and, you know, frame by frame remastered.
There you go. Digitally remastered.
Cleaned up from the originals that we salvaged from a hard drive.
But I thought that was original.
It's not, because they're bringing something
back.
Well,
that's what I mean, as in interesting story.
See, when was the last time Spielberg?
Because I mean, I could literally pick 50 action movies.
Indiana Jones.
I could see 50 action movies that would do better upon a re-release than that one. Because from what I read, they're not doing 3D. They're not, you know, doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can't go back into a 2D movie and make it 3D. That never works.
Right, but I mean, they do a lot of things that never works, and then it doesn't work.
Out of all the things that will not work. Why this, you say?
Right, exactly. Right. Why would they not... If they're raping it 99% of the way, mm-hmm. why not rape it 100%?
Good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Rape should not be half-hearted. Yeah.
Okay.
Commit.
Perhaps...
No.
Perhaps poor choice of words.
When I'm jogging, that's what I hold in my mind.
If they are going to disrespect something or degenerate something...
Rape.
To... Yes.
Mm-hmm. Violate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
To that degree,
mm-hmm.
why not
prison rape it?
Go the other 5% of the way.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I have not had this discussion since talking to my girlfriend when I was 16. As in, hey, if you're going to go 3/4 of the way, why not go all the way?
And let me fuck you in the ass. I know.
No, that wasn't even on the barometer back then.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't come in until at least 16 and a half.
Yeah, that weird logic. It's like, yeah.
It was 6 months there.
I'll jerk you off in the back of your car and suck your dick, but I don't want to do the nasty yet, you know. I'm waiting for my best friend to do it first.
Yes.
Call her.
The theologies of teenage girls as to what they will and won't do sexually is an...
Untapped
psychological plethora of all sorts of God knows what type
of
theories.
Kinds of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still haven't figured it out.
Mm-mm. No. No. But in a few years, you'll get to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
As a parent.
I'm thinking of constructing an oubliette. Okay. And chaining my daughter in the bottom of it and just kind of, you know, feeding her through that.
Yes.
Maybe pumping down some Discovery Channel every
and
now
saying,
and then.
When you're 30, I will let you out of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm still trying to think of the perfect way to make her a lesbian.
Okay.
I don't know.
I would say.
I mean, Indigo Girls, you know, yeah, lots of sandals.
Sure.
Have her wear pants all the time, which she actually kind of prefers a lot of times.
Yeah, and she does like Legos.
That's true.
So.
That's true.
It's not like a Barbie doll kind of.
No, I just need to make sure that every encounter with a boy that she has built into an unpleasant day somehow. So there's that, you know, if I touch, you know, this thing, I get burns kind of reinforcement that I can put in there.
Sure.
Like maybe haunt her or be like, oh, hey, Jimmy, let me get a picture of you. I'm building a friend wall for Robin. And then, like, when she goes to sleep at night, like, scanning his picture and, like, blowing it up life size and just kind of waking her up at 3 o'clock in the morning, like, shaking her and pouring salt in her eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then running out of the room. Something like that. I got to be very subtle about it, though.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, what are you nerding on this week?
I'm still, excuse me, nerding on some Wheel of Time.
Okay.
Some WOT, as people say, W-O-T, right?
Interesting.
Interesting. And I'm about halfway through book two, okay, which is about 900 pages.
All right.
Going good. The guy that's knows he's the shit now.
Okay.
Doesn't want to be the shit. So the reluctant hero story is kicking in, right?
Okay.
He's like, you can't lead me. I'm going to be my own person kind of thing. Because
right,
the legend of what he is ends in a bad way. And with like 80% of the population of the planet dying in upheaval of continents because okay, of the power that is unleashed. So naturally he doesn't want to, you know, have that happen.
Right.
But it's necessary to contain the ultimate evil also. So it's this give and take.
Okay.
And so he's searching through that. I'm enjoying it. As I said before off air, reading on my iPad, but I'm reading at night and stuff like that in lazy afternoon times after I've gotten off work and stuff. And I will read a couple of pages and be coaxed into sleep. And I hate that because I'm enjoying the book and I don't want to be kind of fumbling through it with my eyeballs.
Yes, yes. I one of the things I don't like about reading at the end of the night is I always find myself having to go back and reread
mm-hmm,
50% of what I read the night before,
right,
because it starts to get foggy there when it gets real late. And you know me, I don't go to bed until freaking 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I normally don't start reading until 2, and then just wherever I get tired along the line, that's where I stop for the night.
Yeah. But, and your book may or may not close on the right page. Right.
Yeah.
So what are you nerding on?
I have OCD, which is really bad when it comes to making lists of mm-hmm, things. And for a while there, I was doing really good. I guess you would call it good. Not making 10 different lists a day and
right,
not spending 2 hours updating them every morning
mm-hmm,
and checking things off throughout the day.
Right.
Compiling them at night, making a new one for the next day.
Yeah.
Like,
kind of breaking some of that.
Yeah, was doing good there for a while, but the last like week or two, it's kind of been creeping back. So I'm trying to find the happy medium of feeling like I'm still organized and being productive in the ways I go about my schedule
mm-hmm,
and the organization of it, but also trying not to fall completely back into the
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I understand that and like little neurotic hang-ups and stuff because there's some solace in doing that. You
right,
know, ask the crazy person that's like alphabetizing their shoes and things like that. It's
sure,
like, oh, I need to do this. This is important. But, you know, principally making lists is good because you break down what you need to do. I've been hearing a lot about this productivity thoughts, I guess, called GTD. Have you heard of that?
I have not.
It stands for Get Things Done.
Okay.
And there's a couple of different books along the series. And I don't know enough about it right now to break it down. But it is about kind of throwing all the shit you have to do against a mental wall and assimilating it in a very digestible way so you don't get hung up on one thing or you don't allow yourself to overthink this or that. and you know, just to increase your overall productivity in your life and your work. And I was hearing Rob Corddry go off talking about this, I think maybe on Mark Maron's podcast.
I heard that episode.
Yeah, and I was like, well, you know, it works for, you know, some comedian dude, so it might work for me. And I've just been hearing different people pop about it, so I might check it out.
Good. I
do have something.
Okay.
Yeah, one more thing.
Sure.
for any of our iPad listeners out there, I'd like to recommend an app of the week. This app is called Pulse, P-U-L-S-E. It is a free app from the App Store. Download it. I'm sure you can get it on the iPhone and the iPod Touch, but it's much more useful on the iPad. What this app is a RSS reader, which is a really simple syndication feed for reading all your news feeds. You instigate the app, and what it gives you is multiple pages that you can put news feeds on, and you can go through here, and it will daily digest, as they are updated, different feeds. I have things from Ars Technica, Top Science Stories, All Things D, Slate Magazine, and different pages can have different content. For instance, I have my hardcore news, and then I have my nerd stuff and entertainment and so on. Again, it's free, and it has a nice little built-in element to it where you can find a story, and once you read it and bring it up, it gives you kind of a breakdown of it. You can go to the main story from the original source and read all of it, or you can put a little star, hit a little star on it, and that star will save it for you, so you can come back to it at a later date and look and get in more in depth of that story that you saw during the day. So
that
Pulse.
That is very cool. Pulse, like the infamous Pink Floyd concert.
Just like that.
Concert DVD, yes. And I guess we'll finish up the week with This Week in Rap Philosophy.
Hit it.
This week it is possibly closer to This Week in Pop Philosophy, but I heard this and it made me smile. This is from Stereo Hearts, a song from Gym Class Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, "Furthermore, I apologize for any skipping tracks. This the last girl that play me left a couple cracks. I used to, now I'm over that. 'Cause holding grudges over love is ancient artifacts." So,
wow, that is pretty enlightened.
Enlightened it is. Thank you for listening, folks. We will catch you next time.
Later on the Nerd.
Stereo, it beats for you, so listen close. Hear my thoughts in every note. Make me your radio and turn me up when you feel low. This melody was meant for you. Along to my stereo.
Gym Class Heroes, baby. If I was just another dusty record on the shelf, would you blow me off and play me like everybody else? If I asked you to scratch my back, could you manage that? Like if we had chicken trappy, I can handle that. Furthermore, I apologize for any skipping tracks. This is the last girl that played me, left a couple cracks. I used to, now I'm over that. 'Cause holding grudges over love is ancient artifacts. If I could only find a note to make you understand, I'd sing it softly in your ear and grab you by the hands. Keep me stuck inside your head like your favorite tune. And oh, my heart's a stereo, the only place for you.
My heart's a stereo, it beats for you, so listen close. Hear my thoughts in every note.
Yeah, come on.
Make me your radio, right. And turn me up when you feel low. This melody was meant for you, so sing along to my stereo.
If I was an old school 50-pound boombox, would you hold me on your shoulder wherever you walk? Would you turn my volume up in front of the cops and crank it higher every time they told you to stop? And all I ask is that you don't get mad at me when you have to purchase Mad D batteries. Appreciate every mixtape your friends make. You never know, we come and go like on the interstate. I think I finally found a note to make you understand. If you can hit it, sing along and take me by the hands. Keep me stuck inside your head like your favorite tune. You know my heart's a stereo, the only place for you.
It beats for you, so listen close. Hear my thoughts in every note. Make me your radio. Turn me up when you feel.
Because good music can be so hard to find.
So hard to find.
I'll take your hand and hold it closer to mine.
Yeah.
Stereo.